You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Raptors tying it up last night. Big win over Milwaukee. They're in Milwaukee tomorrow night for Game 5. And we've got ourselves a series. We've got ourselves a best-of-three series. And the Raptors, they deserve a lot of credit. Like, they could have easily packed it in after being down 2-0 coming home. And they had to survive in Game 3. Double overtime survival in Game 3. But they showed up big time last night. Jerry's percentages in about a half an hour. The cup final is set. We knew that Boston was getting there. Kind of felt like St. Louis was a lock last night with all those guys not playing, Carlson, Hurdle, Pavelski. But to their credit, they went out there and said, we're not even going to give you any life, and St. Louis is off to the cup final.
How about your buddy Bozy?
Bozak's looked very good.
That was fifth goal and 10th point, I think, last night.
He's a good player.
He's a very good player.
Would you consider this a Cinderella run?
For certain players, Jordan Binnington's a Cinderella story.
But they became one of the best teams in the league in a month, and then they just ran with it. They're steamrolling everybody.
Everything that could have went wrong for them at the start of the season did. Petrangelo was hurt. They couldn't get a save. The coach was kind of, you know, hitting a wall. Bozak, Maroon were signings, didn't settle in. O'Reilly was traded for, like, he was struggling to settle in. There were so many things that just wasn't where Bouwmeester wasn't playing well. Is it healthy here in Toronto? Like, it just wasn't clicking. Berube takes over. Binnington gets an opportunity. Binnington came up and played very well, but Jake Allen actually stabilized once Binnington was there because Allen's more of a tandem guy. And they got on a heater. Now, their system is fantastic. Like, defensively, they are rock solid. Like, I complain about it a lot about the way the Leafs play. If the Leafs played like that, with pace, skill, but a system like that, rock, like, tight, like, San Jose couldn't get anything going.
Well, we'll get to Peter DeBoer's comment in a moment. But the reason I bring the Cinderella stuff up is, on January 4th or whatever it was, were dead last in the league.
Last in the league, yeah.
Dead last.
Mm-hmm. On this show, we've said it multiple times. Like, St. Louis is gone. They're done.
You're dead last into the new year. Like, there are people that will go to their grave believing in the U.S. Thanksgiving rule.
Yeah.
Forget U.S. Thanksgiving. This was 6 weeks later, and they were still in dead last.
Yeah.
And now, not only did they get hot, they almost won their division. And I think that's why maybe the whole Cinderella angle is taken away a little bit, because they could have caught Nashville. They could have caught Winnipeg. And they've had some tough series. They won 6 against Winnipeg, 7 against Dallas, 6 against San Jose. But you look at, like, I wouldn't compare this to, like, an 8-seed Cinderella run.
Right.
Like we've seen in the past. But it's kind of similar, although it's drawn out a little bit more, to that LA Kings run in 2011, I think it was. Now, the Kings just steamrolled everybody.
But you're right. They squeaked in at 8.
But they squeaked in, but they were this great team that everyone was like, wow, coaching change halfway through the year. Daryl Sutter comes in, and then they never stopped.
Yeah.
And St. Louis, it hasn't been as easy. Again, LA, they didn't lose. Yeah. Like, they did not lose.
They swept I think they swept one or two series.
I think they took Vancouver down in 5 in the first round, and then I think they swept the next 2. I'd have to look that up. But again, it hasn't been as easy for St. Louis, but there's a Cinderella element that I think we're forgetting about.
You're right on that aspect. Like, I just more looking at the individual. Like, Jordan Binnington a year ago, I was looking at the stat, like, and I think it was being reported today, this guy wouldn't accept a demotion to the East Coast League. And they made a deal for him to go play in Providence, which is Boston's farm team. This is a year ago, a calendar year of his life, and now he's playing for a Stanley Cup.
I'm pretty sure he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year.
He is.
Can you imagine?
What kind of money is he getting paid?
You got to be careful with that. Like, you.
Yeah, but he's going to say, give me a 3-year deal of $5
million. Yeah, but I personally think it's been earned, but I've said this before. Matt Murray won back-to-back Stanley Cups and still had to prove that he could be a starter in the league.
I'm just saying, that's what he's probably going to...
I think it's probably something with a 4 in it, but if it's five, let it be five, because you know St. Louis has been starving for that. I played there. I know what the marketplace is all about. Yeah, he's earned some money. Like he's not getting $650,000.
Well, he's earned some leverage at the very least,
right?
Because even if they don't win the Cup final, but if they do, it's the first time in franchise history. Our boy Chaser's coming up in an hour. You're reading all these different stories coming out of St. Louis about Hull and Chase. They're crying. People are going crazy.
Yeah, I know.
And imagine Binnington goes, I'm not showing up to camp unless you give me this. Why can't he do that? Every other RFA believes that they can ask for the world.
Yeah.
This guy brings them the first Stanley Cup.
Yes.
I'm not saying he deserves it, yeah, but I'm saying you could play it.
That would be bad managing if they just said, okay, here's a blank check.
Of course, you can't do that. You got to negotiate.
Yeah.
But who's to say Binnington won't be like, listen, guys.
And like, he seems like he's in the mood that he might do something like that.
Well, he refused a demotion when he was in the minors.
Yeah, but that one you can. Like the AHL, like when you're on a two-way, you don't have to go down to the coast. Like I
hear you, but that's still kind of a big wheel type of
maneuver. Put it this way, St. Louis can go, we gave you a career.
Absolutely.
Too. Because this guy, 6 months ago or 3 months ago, however long you want to count it,
but
5 months ago, nobody had really, other than the people that...
Right, but again, his counter will be, I gave you a Stanley Cup. You think Jake Allen has him in a Cup final? I don't.
No, probably not, but I think that system has protected him a lot.
For
sure. He's been very, very good,
yep.
But it goes hand in hand.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Ray Ferraro. Ray, we were just talking about Jordan Binnington being an RFA. If he wins a Stanley Cup, if the Blues win a Cup, how smooth do you think those negotiations will go?
Oh, they'll be really ugly. I mean, there's, how could they be anything else? I mean, like, you know, I'm just listening to you guys, and I'm like, yeah, I could see that. Well, I could see that, too. And, of course, he's going to say that, you know, we were in last place, and I got called up, and, you know, I'm not the only reason here, but when I got called up, now we're in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I got to think I got something to do with that. And they're going to say, well, if you're, you know, we're looking at your comparables, and your comparables are all in the American League because that's where you've been for 5 years. Like, yeah. Doug Armstrong said earlier in the playoffs, if we knew he was this good, don't you think we would have had him here earlier?
Yeah.
Like, they had him last year, right, when he was in the American League, and, you know, the refused the demotion. He's like, I'm not going to the East Coast League. That's not my problem. I'd rather hang out here and practice, and you guys figure it out. And, you know, his agent worked alongside of, you know, of the Blues, and it eventually, you know, coincidentally, it turns out to be the Bruins that he goes and plays in Providence. And then this year, he was no further ahead. They've got another young kid there, Ville Husso, and Husso got hurt.
Yeah.
And that kind of opened up his spot. Like, this is like the accidental tourist. You just kind of like happen to be along in the right spot. You kind of do your thing and nobody's watching. And then the guys in front of you can't stop a beach ball. And so they're like, well, like where, what else were they going to do in January? I don't know. Here, why don't you try it? And then I think he won his first five games and they were off and running. But Noodles, you said something that I think gets overshadowed here. It's an awesome story and good for the kid, and he's super cocky, and I get a laugh out of it. I really do. But that defense is really good.
Yeah,
they play a system where, like, he stops one shot, he doesn't stop four. The shots come, and they got all those big tall guys. You know, yeah. There's Parayko and Bollmeister and
Edmondson. Yeah.
Edmondson, Petrangelo, and they're all like 6'4". Like, you can't get in there. The game they eliminated Winnipeg, I did that game. Winnipeg had like four shots through 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was six shots through 40 minutes.
So they never even got with it. They couldn't even yell at them. They were too far away.
You're right, Ray. Like, does it not remind you of a little bit of modern-day New Jersey, the way they play? Like, you've had to adjust. It's not a trap, but their pressure everywhere on the ice, it seems like they're playing with eight players out there.
Well, and not only that, Noodles, it's like, you know, like we, we're all interested in the way the game has gotten smaller and faster and quicker. The biggest team in the NHL won the Cup last year. Yeah. And this year, these are not two guys full of little people. Yeah. Like you can have some, right? But they're big teams. And this is a two-month slog through to get to this point. And I don't think we can just become all super enamored with all guys my size, because it doesn't seem to be the way to the Stanley Cup final.
Well, it's a perfect segue and platform for the quote that Peter DeBoer gave postgame last night, the head coach of the Sharks. And I honestly think Mike Babcock is injecting this quote into his veins wherever he happens to be today. Here's what DeBoer had to say postgame.
I think the two hardest, heaviest teams are in the final, you know, and that, you know, we talk, you know, everybody talks about skill and speed, and, you know, there's room for all these small players, you know, and then there is room for that, but I don't think it's an accident, you know. These guys, there's no space. They're heavy, they're hard, they're organized. You know, there wasn't any room out there.
Well,
amen.
Jeremy Bracco might be penciled in on the right wing, you know, in the fall for the Maple Leafs, and you know, Mac Hollowell's coming up.
But that'll
5'9".
Get you 100 points. It'll get you 100 points in the regular season. But he's not wrong. Like, I was thinking about that last night, even before DeBoer said that. Like, if you take a look at these teams, like, they're built a certain way, and it doesn't. It's got a good mix of everything. It's not just one player or the other player. You've got a full mix, and Ray pointed to it. St. Louis, they're D, they're skilled, but they just happen to be big men.
And so the one smaller guy they got is Vince Dunn on the blue line. And Dunn's, like, he's aggressive and he's fast. And not to say that small guys can't play, because of course they can. We've seen it. And we've seen the way the rules have changed. I just don't know that you can have five small forwards. To me, it just doesn't seem to work. And I'm all for the small guy. Like, I'm hoping all small guys get a chance, because, well, I was one of them. And, like, it just doesn't work. Like, it can't. The guys that you're playing against, as the games pile, they're every second day. And, like, just think in the season, we go, oh, yeah, they got to play four games in 7 nights. Well, and you're traveling around. Well, here you're playing the same guys every second night, and we know the games are more physical. We certainly know they're more intense, and you just get worn out. Unless you happen to be a big tank like Patrick Maroon, who gets around in the regular season, does what he does, and now in the playoffs he's scoring big goals. But they got a guy like Jaden Schwartz, who's not a big guy, but he's a piece of the puzzle there, and he's had an unreal playoff.
Even the element... Balance, sorry, Ray, go ahead.
Go ahead, though. I'll just say the balance of the team has to be there. It just has to be.
Even, like, physical contact, body checking. Why do you think San Jose was just decimated at the end of it? Every time they touched the puck, whether it was Braden Schenn, Tarasenko, Bortuzzo, Bomeast, like, you got crushed by one of them. You're going to get hit.
Isn't that what DeBoer said? Like, there's no room. There's nowhere to go. And I thought San Jose, you know, they did about as much as they could do. But when I watched St. Louis early on in that first round, and then when they just kind of imposed their will in the second round, you're like, that team's going to be hard to beat. So now it's not even a fluke anymore, man. This is since January. They've been the best team.
Yeah,
I they're my favorite to win right now.
Yeah, that's probably where I put my money. I think Boston, though, they're
battle test. Boston's battle tested. That's the one thing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the matchup in goal too. Like, Rask has been fantastic, and Bennington's been good. Like, Bennington's been.
What's the 10 days like for him?
Depends on off ice habits. You know, if he's a guy that enjoys himself or doesn't take care of himself. If he's Joel Embiid, you know, and eats himself into a sickness, or then it's concerning. But I think they're pretty focused. Like, you hear all the comments out of there. Like, Chara, I thought, had a fantastic I guess, interview session yesterday, saying, like, we treat everyone the same here, whether you've got 1,000 games or it's your first year. I expect, and you could tell, like, that's a leader. Like, this guy is going to hold people to their feet to the fire. So I think Boston will be ready, but the rust on the game. Like, you know, you're in a groove. Yep. Like, St. Louis is in a groove right now.
I think St. Louis has got the perfect amount of rest.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's a fair amount of rest, though. They don't start until next Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
Like, I don't know why that was the decision that was made in the end. I don't know if it's building availability, if it's TV networks, but you couldn't have started Saturday night.
It seems odd they didn't. Yeah, it seems odd they're not on the weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's your cup final. Why would you start on a Monday when, you know, the Blues were free as of last night?
Yeah.
You got a lot of time to travel and prepare.
Maybe it is Boston's building availability.
Yeah, it could be.
But I doubt it.
I mean, that
it.
Might be
know.
The case, but.
Just think, though. So Boston's got this long rest, and they open at home. What if you kick away the first game? You know, because you stumble around for half of it. You're just not quite there. And then the second game. You know, there's all this crazy pressure on you because you sure don't want to lose both of them at home. Like, yeah. There's a lot riding on that first little bit. Like, how much are they prepared, or how much? It's not that they're going to be ill prepared. It's like, can they catch up to the speed right away? It'll be interesting to watch.
Well, getting back to the comments from DeBoer and the size stuff from a Leaf perspective, I mean, there's only so much they can do. Like, you can't find Pietrangelo and Bouwmeester and Edmondson. You can't find those guys.
No.
You can't find Brandon Carlo and Zdeno Chara between now and next April. So.
No, but they drafted Timothy Liljegren and Rasmus Sandin, and those are not very big guys.
No. No, they're not.
But I'm
like
fine.
That's where St. Louis got those guys, right? They drafted Pietrangelo. I know he was fourth, but, like, they drafted them. And so their organizational view seems to be, the game is going this way, and we're going to be successful this way.
I'm fine with them drafting those players. Sorry to interrupt, Ray, but it's how you shape the team around it. If you end up having to sign a couple free agents, maybe that's where you look at the size of your team, or you look at, it's not about leaving skill on the table, because you have to be able to play in today's game. That's a given.
The Leafs have the skill.
They've got skill.
They've got the skill.
But even if it's a choice between player X and player Y, and the skill set is roughly the same, but the body type is different, I would go with the bigger player just based on what you have on your roster.
I would, too. I think Kyle Dubas would. I think every hockey executive likely would, if all things are equal. More often than not, you take the bigger size, because why wouldn't you take the size?
I wouldn't even get fascinated with the numbers, the stats, 6'5". Steve Thomas was, what, 5'10"? But you know what?
Compete.
He would run you through the boards.
Yeah, it's compete. You're right. It's actually what the guy brings, because if he's 5'10 and plays like he's 6'4", that's all you want.
They're just bigger out there.
Like Ray just talked about, Jaden Schwartz. Like, he's a 25 goal scorer who had scored 11 goals this year. But man, does he hound dog pucks.
Yeah. Braden Schenn, he's a good player. But he'll run you through the boards if need be. It's just an attitude, I think.
That's true.
Well, here's one other thing I was just thinking as we're going around into both the Leafs. So next year, like, lots can happen, of course, between now and, you know, in training camp. But you've got Callie Rosen, who's not a big guy, Riley, Zaitsev, Dermott, who's not big, Liljegren, Sandin. Like, who am I missing? They signed another guy. Another Russian, I believe. Like, they're not a big group. And maybe that's how they start the year, but that's not a 2-month defense.
No, that's the truth.
There's lots
the truth.
Of work to go, man.
Yeah.
There's lots of work still.
That is where it's on Dubas to figure it out. Because maybe, you know what Babcock's
promoting. Oh, by the way, I forgot Jake Muzzin, which is my bad.
And Muzzin's a guy with some size.
And he's like got Muzzin, size.
Yeah.
But that's what St. Louis seems to have is four or five Muzzins.
Right.
Like that type of big player who can play in today's game. Because Bouwmeester's not overly physical. He's big and he can move. He's got a mean stick, a meaner stick than people think. Like, he's a little bit chippy. Very quiet player.
Mm-hmm.
But if maybe Hainsey's still an option for them on a 1-year low deal.
I think that's probably a possibility, but I wouldn't say that he's, you know, he's not a bruiser himself.
No, but he's a big body that they trust. Like Babcock, think of, that's
yeah,
probably
but he's also a big body that they trust that they lose in the first round with.
Why
is it so imperative to go back to him?
I get it. I'm not advocating for him. I'm just saying, like, that's the type of player. If you could get 28-year-old Ron Hainsey, that's probably what they're looking for.
Those are the guys that, if St. Louis wins, those are the guys that all of a sudden are should be licking their chops. The guys that maybe don't have the big flash and dash, but teams look around. We hear all the time about this copycat stuff. And so you look at them and go, wow, 2 years in a row, teams that are big make it deep. And all of a sudden, things start to tip back the other way a little bit.
Yeah.
Ray, what would you have to say to the Leaf fan that is all bent out of shape about William Nylander all of a sudden having success at the World Championships? I personally think it's fantastic for the kid to just continue to be playing and playing well, but there's some people that are just beside themselves.
Well, I don't know why they would be upset. I'm sure he would have liked his season to go like this, but Canada's got another player just like that had the same type of year as Nylander, Kyle Turris. He was a healthy scratch. He had a brutal year. He was hurt, which can be the equivalent of the holdout. And then he got 7 goals in 55 games, which is almost identical to Nylander. He's been one of Canada's best players here. And I know that just from playing in these things that if you can salvage some of your season over here, you go into the summer, you don't forget about the year, but you wash the stink of it off. This is good. Real good news for the Leafs to see Nylander playing like this. Now, oh, your buddy Darren Dreger, by the way, I was giggling for 3 days on this. We'd go for a walk and to get a coffee. I'd like, has he noticed yet? He goes, I don't think so.
Yeah. I noticed on the weekend I was at my cottage. I'm like, this guy is such a loser. And I called him, and he never answered.
He flushed the call.
We were giggling. We walked for 7 kilometers. We giggled for about 7 kilometers. It was we're like, when he finds out, he's going to think this is so stupid. Mm. And that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dregs interviewed Rickard Granberg in his cafe today, the Swedish head coach, who's going to go coach in Switzerland this year, and I think will be an NHL coach before too long. But he was raving about Nylander, and Dregs asked him something along the lines of, do you have any concern or do you have any worry that he's not going to be a star? And he's like, no, none. Like, the way that he's played to him has shown him that, yeah, Nylander is the Nylander we knew from before, not the one that muddled around this year.
Well, I think if you're the Maple Leafs, that's what you're hoping for. And if you're Leaf fans, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
I think it really, this conversation is probably linked with the one we just had, though. Is Nylander capable in the playoffs of grinding? And he's got to show that before anyone's truly going to believe it. It doesn't mean he can't do it or he won't do it.
Well, it'd be
he hasn't had a ton of opportunity. He's only played so many playoff games. But is he going to play like Jaden Schwartz or not?
But it'd be nice to have a good regular season to climb off the top of that and then go into the playoffs. That's what he needs to focus on, is just a clean slate next year. And if he has a good start or just he looks comfortable on the ice, then I think people will just throw this season out the window for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with that.
He's got 17 points. I mean, I know they beat up on Italy and Austria, you know, some places that can't quite play, but my gosh, you know, 17 points is pretty good 2 weeks.
Not a bad run.
Yep.
All right, man. Enjoy it over there. We'll do it again later in the week.
Talk to you tomorrow.
There he is.
Or maybe not tomorrow.
Whatever.
I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, we never know when we're going to have you on. So
yeah.
You know, like, Canada's playing tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk after the game tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good to us.
Okay.
Right, there's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada. Plus, get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. Jerry's percentages. Jerry's got some comments today. We'll see what kind of mood he's in. We'll catch up with Jerry next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Yes, it is. Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. I believe we have an opening statement from Jerry this week. You guys want to hear it?
Yep.
Here's Jerry's 2 cents on this Drake character. If he gave me a shoulder rub without permission, I'd spin him around and dropkick his ass Terminator style. And if Adam Silver had any brains, he'd abandon him for life. Time to take another page out of the NHL's playbook, Silver. Because our celebrities are a bunch of low-key C-listers, and we love it. John Hamm. That chick from Handmaid's Tale. John Hamm. Sure, our celebrities may have less followers on Twitter than Joe from the Bridge, but at least they stay in their lane.
Less followers than Joe from the Bridge on Twitter?
Just John Hamm is all we could come up with, huh?
Well, that woman from The Handmaid's Tale, yeah. She goes to a bunch of hockey games. She was in Mad Men as well. Yeah. I can't remember what her name is.
She's the one that goes to the Ranger games?
No, she's always in Toronto.
Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon, they're the two that are...
Yeah, I guess they're at the Ranger games all the time. Boomer Esiason goes to Ranger games.
Well, yeah, because...
Low-key C-listers.
isn't Matt Martin married to his daughter?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that's probably why.
Well, wouldn't you think he'd go to the Islanders games? I think he's been a lifelong Ranger fan. I think he's always liked the Rangers. Anyway, you guys ready for the takes?
Yes.
Sticking with Drake, reports will surface between now and Game 6 that the NBA and or the Raptors have asked him to tone it down. Drake is a habitual line stepper, and it drives Jerry bananas.
A habitual line stepper. I'm surprised a report hasn't come out already.
You think somebody's at least 100%. Gotten in his ear?
Well, remember last year with Kendrick Perkins when they were like, they almost came to blows reportedly, although Drake is not that dumb because Perkins would have pommeled him.
He would have put him in a figure four.
I think 100% the league's going to step in and say, watch yourself. 100%. Yeah. Probably in the works or it's already happened.
But how does that transaction go down? They call Masai and be like, get this guy in order here a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think the Raptors would ever do it. You know, I said that in the first hour. I think they love it. I think they promote it. It's on social media. They can't get enough of Drake.
Basically, if they didn't like it, like this guy continues to do it. So if they didn't like it, they would have said to him, like, you got to stay in your lane here a little bit. Obviously, they haven't done that, so
absolutely.
They love it.
They love it. And I can see why they do. Like, he's maybe the face of the team. It's crazy. He doesn't even play for the team. And he's as associated with them as anybody else. Like, really. But I don't know. I'm going to go low on this because I think the league actually kind of loves Drake. They love the celebrities. They love the celebrities.
Either way, we've talked half an hour about him today. So
I'll say 30%.
Any type of publicity is good publicity. So yeah. I'm low on this because I think they've allowed him to do it this long. Why won't they allow him to do it? And I'm going to say 12%.
Nice to see Bill Nylander morph into Wayne Gretzky at the World Championships again. And he'll carry that over into next season, scoring 70-plus points and setting a career high.
70-plus points for Bill Gretzky next season. Assuming he's a Maple Leaf.
I'll go 65%. I think he's going to get an opportunity to ride shotgun with Matthews. It better happen. 65% is my number.
It's a good number. 42%. think is a chance, but like, where's he going to play? If he's going to play on the right side with Matthews, potentially, yeah. But what if he gets pushed around the lineup a little bit? Like, Kadri, not a 30-goal scorer anymore. He's a 16-goal scorer.
Right.
You know, because he got pushed down in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty low on this as well. 70 points is a lot of points.
It is a lot of points, too. Like that's a fantastic season. He's capable of it, but you know, we thought he was capable of it before, and he had 2 years at 61-61.
Yeah. I'll say 25%. Because I assume he's going to play a lot with Matthews, but I don't think it's a guarantee. And I think if there's they're weak up the middle of the ice. So if there is an injury to anybody, that's who's stepping in. Because they can't put Patrick Marleau in that position.
Right.
They by all accounts, I don't think they've got anybody in the minors that is ready to take on a heavy ball.
What do you
mean
they're weak in the middle of the ice?
I mean depth-wise. Not in terms of Matthews, Tavares, and Kadri. But
after that.
Their fourth liner is Frederick Gauthier. I have no idea who the fifth centerman is in the organization. Pierre Engvall? Or so? I don't know. Adam Brooks? I don't think any of those guys with the Marlies are prepared to play in the NHL.
Right, so you're saying
That's any type of
injury to...
Tavares gets hurt, Nylander's playing center.
Right,
and if he's
right.
playing center, I think he's looking at a very different season. You know, right. And let's be honest, Austin Matthews gets hurt. Past 2 years, he's been hurt.
Yeah, he has.
So I'm not sure Nylander's going to play 82 games with Matthews. Yeah. And I'm not sure he's going to be on the top power play unit either.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
it's not that he can't get to 70. I just don't know if he'll have the opportunity.
70 points is a lot of points.
A lot of points.
He's capable of it, but we'll see.
Kawhi Leonard got his rest last night, but it won't happen again because he'll play at least 40 minutes in each of the remaining games this series.
40 minutes.
40 minutes in each of the remaining games.
85% for the simple fact that it has to happen. They probably got their one win with him getting some rest, and that could be it.
I'm low on this. 18%. I think one game can be a blowout, and they're going to sit him down either way.
I hope not. You know, I don't see a blowout in any of the final three games if it goes to seven.
Last night was a blowout.
Game two was a blowout. Each team's got a blowout win and a blowout loss.
Yeah.
You know, and each team just said, forget it in the fourth quarter, get my guys off the court.
That's kind of what I'm seeing. One out of the next three, potentially.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think that could happen, but I think you got to go high on this. I think, obviously, if it's even remotely close, he's got to play 40 minutes. Like, I don't know what the injury is. I don't know. Nobody knows. And to be fair, Kawhi is the last guy on earth who's even talking about it.
Right.
You ask him how he's feeling, he's like, I'm fine, it's playoff basketball. But he is limping around constantly. And last time I checked, he's not on the injury report. No one has said exactly what it is. You know, is it his quad? Is it a knee? I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I think, I'm assuming this series is going to clean up and it's going to be a close two or three games remaining. 90%, I think he's, if it's close, he's got to play 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He has got to play 40 minutes. 90%.
Jerry's got a lot of time for Brooks Koepka because he reminds me of myself. Putting the shield up on kisses from missiles is a move Jerry invented and Brooksy is trying to master. As for the golf course, he stays hot in 2019, winning at least one more major.
Jerry would be kissing everybody on the way to the first tee.
I thought he was putting up shields, Jerry, back in his day.
No, he came with the truth at the end.
At least now. Like, in 2019, he's up for kissing anybody.
I'm going to say 70% on this guy winning another major. 4 of 8, the way he's dialed in.
Where's the British this season?
Turnberry?
No. Look that up, Grapples. Not that it necessarily matters. I mean, I think this guy can win anywhere, but no, if it's...
So many X factors at the British Open, weather, wind,
that's
draw.
Yeah, and if the driver's out of the bag, then it might kind of bring the rest of the field closer to him. That's why I'm not convinced he's going to win the British, but Pebble, back-to-back, U.S. Open, that would be, what, 3 U.S. Opens in a row for him?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it. I mean, he's the best player in the world right now. At majors, I don't think there's anyone that's even in his world. But, you know, who's to say Dustin Johnson can't get hot? Tiger at Pebble, you know, maybe. I can say 20%, and that might be a little bit too liberal.
I just think, like, all PGA Tour golfers, they say they make 90% of their money in 10% of their events. And it's like, this guy's 10%, or his events are the majors, where he's just like, that's all I want. He's in, like, Tiger mode.
Well, that's what, like, it's goofy criticism, but that's the criticism he's getting, is that he's not winning these other tournaments.
Right.
Who cares? Like, that's where the buck stops, though, on the Tiger comparisons, is Tiger shows up at a goat track for a charity event, and he has to win it.
Yeah.
Like, in his prime, he won everything.
I'm 8%. And maybe it's just I want to see if this guy falls on his face one weekend.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of the confidence coming from Brooks Koepka.
Just, you know, the kiss thing and all. Like, there's something about this guy.
I got no problem with the Heisman on the walking kiss.
I agree. I thought that was the girlfriend's fault. But I don't know. Not a fan yet.
The walking kiss, it's a gamble.
It is.
When you're out in public, and especially if you're at work, it is a gamble.
Yep.
And she went in for it, and
he dusted her.
He said, no guy.
It almost, watching it again, seems like he said, get away from me or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, that looked to me, reviewing the tape, she goes in for walk and kisses all the time, and he's like, no. Like,
Under his breath, he was like, no.
Yeah. Hey.
Like, he may have just mumbled, no.
Well, because her neck snapped the other way.
She turned away, yeah.
And she said something to herself. Like, she was kind of like, I can't confirm or deny that no kiss is coming.
Away.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Yeah, she knew I'm
in
trouble.
She didn't look straight. She turned away. Yeah.
Cameras on me, and I went in, and I got the shield, the Jerry shield.
Exactly.
Pat Roy will be the new head coach of the Ottawa Senators.
Watch yourself, Pierre Dorion. He might be coming for your job, too, that son of a gun.
Pat Roy.
Jerry had to call him Pat Roy.
That's a Hall of Famer we're talking about.
I'm going to say 100% on this.
You think he's got the gig?
Yeah, I'm sniffing around, getting a vibe off of Bobby Mack when he says maybe it's coming this weekend. Wah was recently
seen with Pierre Dorion in Montreal yesterday, I guess.
100%.
I'm lower than that.
Which I don't think it's the right hire.
I'm lower than that on one thing. He seems like he wants a lot of control there. And if I'm a manager, the last thing I want to do is hand over it. Like, it's fine to have a working relationship. But you know that the minute you go, that you're hiring a guy that's going to take your job. And I don't know. Like, I think the right guy, personally, I'm a little bit biased, is Mark Crawford. But I've been around him. We've worked with him. I thought he did a fantastic job at the end of the season there with a team that was, you know, knew exactly where they were. But, you know, Patrick has some luster on him, but I'm a little bit lower. I'm going to be 61%.
I'd love to know how much Eugene Melnyk is involved in this process. Because if he's heavily involved, it doesn't matter what Pierre Dorion wants.
Exactly.
And I would have been... You know, the fact that his name came up, I mean, this is Patrick Waugh. I don't think he's going to allow himself to be embarrassed by being turned down for a job. Like, by all accounts, he came into the fold late. That says to me, Waugh reached out to someone and said, you know what, I've been thinking about it. I'd be willing to take the job. Not, hey, Patrick, we were thinking about you. Would you mind coming in for an interview?
But is he, sorry to interrupt you, but he doesn't have...
He's Patrick Waugh. He's
as Patrick a player.
Waugh. Yes, I know that.
He's not Joel Quinville. He's not Mike Babcock.
He's not.
He doesn't have 1,000 wins in the league.
You're right.
A guy that's coached a couple years, won a coach of the year. Absolutely. But he's Patrick Waugh, the player who's transitioned into a coach. And, like, Aginla had him. Aginla liked him, said he was a really hard coach, but fair.
Right, in Colorado, yeah.
In Colorado, they liked him there.
I think the tipping point, I'm going to say 90%. Is the fact that Pierre Dorion went to Montreal.
Yeah, this guy's not...
To meet... Like, why wouldn't Waugh be like, yeah, I'll come back up to Ottawa? It's almost like a power move before the relationship officially even begins.
Right.
Like, no, I'm not leaving Montreal, but if you want to come for a secondary chat, you can come down and meet me. I got 20 minutes. Like, wow. I don't know. That says to me, like, Ottawa would probably be... They're probably interested. and if he wants the gig, and if Melnick wants him included, yeah, then like it's over.
Say, if
and I can see Melnick being like, this would be a good thing for me. He's the great Patrick Wall, even though he's got no association with that market.
Yeah.
But everyone knows him. You know, it's a hockey town. They all know who Patrick Wall is.
Yeah.
He would make things interesting. That's for sure. I'm all for the hiring.
Listen,
I'm not saying it's the right hiring, but I think it would be an interesting one.
I got to be there for 40 games next year. Like, it'd be fine for me, too.
Absolutely.
But
there you go. All right.
Jerry's After Dark.
That's right. In about an hour.
One more
horny hot take. The horniest take of the day at 6:45.
Mm-hmm.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Part man, part machine.
The Overdrive Man of Steel.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, I'm the man.
All right, the Man of Steel is brought to you by Steel. Quality product built to last. Price to sell.
I'm going to go with Vladdy Tarasenko. Takes a lot of heat when the Blues don't win. Some he puts on himself. Some just come with the territory. But him and his team are going to the finals, and he's a good player right now.
You see that laser? That laser, that shot. I didn't love the way Jones played it, but that was a fantastic shot. That was a laser beam. I'm going to go with Craig Berube. He's coached his team into the finals.
Absolutely. Still technically the interim head coach, I believe.
Yeah.
There's a negotiation.
You want to talk about Bennington's RFA.
Oh, man.
Imagine winning the cup. That'll be 5 times 5. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll take whatever. What did Q get down in Florida?
Probably 5 or 6.
Yeah. Nah, he shouldn't get Quinville money, still, you got leverage.
At least
give me,
something.
Give me whatever.
Ralphie Krug's.
Yeah, more.
There's no way Ralph Kruger should make more money than Craig Berube.
Not on
any
part. Give me the Vigneault contract, please. Thank you.
Vigneault's never won a cup.
No, but Vigneault's got tenure and depth. Like he's
really
been there.
Coach,
he's been to the finals.
Ralph Kruger was running a soccer team.
Ralph Kruger has about 60 games of coaching in the National Hockey League.
How much did they pay him? $4 million a year?
No, it was like $3.5 or something. Just under. It was a 4-year deal for $12 million or something like that. $3.75. I don't know the numbers, but right. It was under $4 million.
That's still incredible leverage. Like, good for
him. It still baffles me that he was like one of the hottest commodities out
there. Oh, I love everyone that's like, what a hiring. I love Ralph Kruger. Yeah, based on what?
Exactly. 48 games in Edmonton.
Yeah.
They missed the playoffs.
And running a soccer team in England.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Seems like a nice guy, though.
Oh, he could be the greatest coach of all time. I don't know. I'm not saying it won't work out. But this idea that anyone knows that it will is so bogus.
Yeah.
And just hot, you know, it's fake news.
No, associate coach for 2 years, head coach for 48 games in Edmonton, all 3 years out of the playoffs. $3.5 million.
Got to have them.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a three-pack from the Raptors last night. Fred VanVleet, Norman Powell, Serge Ibaka, three guys coming off the bench. Big minutes, big production last night. Got to carry over the rest of the series.
Yeah, agreed.
Not convinced it will, and maybe not to that level, but cannot be no-shows in Milwaukee Game 5. If it gets to Game 7, let's get some mojo going here.
Yeah.
Something's got to give here because Kawhi, you know, I think he's going to do his thing. Lowry's been really good. Marcus Gasol has redeemed himself. First two games, he was brutal. Last two games, he's played really well.
Yeah,
Danny Green is still, you know, he probably use a little bit more out of Danny Green, but, you know, those bench players, they need it because that's what Milwaukee's got. They got Giannis and then a really high-quality, you know, a depth.
Secondary support
staff.
Yeah.
And, like, Brogdon was brutal last night. I think he gets better tomorrow night. Chris Middleton, who did guarantee a win, he performed.
Yeah.
I don't know why you guarantee a Game 4 win.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Like, what was the point of that guarantee?
Ridiculous.
Like, it's not a Game 7 or you're not down 3-2, you know, back at home.
Yeah, that
Who
was
guarantees a Game 4?
Who knows? Maybe it's like, okay, I'll throw my guarantee out there now, but everyone's like, why?
Why are you doing that? It's 2-1.
Throw some stones and make it Game 7, please.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. That I get. And that's
Game 4. We're bringing it home.
Guarantee we're up 3-1 in the Eastern Conference Final.
Okay.
What a goofy guarantee. Nah, he pulled his weight, but his team didn't.
Yeah.
Kelly Chase will join us in the next hour. We continue to look back on what happened with the Raptors last night. The Cup Final is set up. Marcus Stroman versus Alex Cora as we head into Game 3 of that series tonight down at the Rogers Center. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.